Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're getting prepared for the stretch run of the fantasy season, and that starts with week 10. We got a first-time guest joining us today, somebody who is very sharp. Can't wait to hear his thoughts, especially on the tight end landscape. He's going to talk to us about tight ends and what they're going to do in the second half of the season. Before we bring him in, though, we have a new segment that we're unveiling this week, and that's my three unapologetically bold predictions for week 10, courtesy of our friends at Captain Morgan. And my first bold prediction this week: Will Levis will be a top 12 fantasy quarterback in week 10. Mike Vrabel officially named him as the Titans starter moving forward, and that's because he's shown promising results so far, challenging defenses deep, displaying nice touch on some of those shorter passes. Now he's going to take on a Bucs defense that's given up the second most passing yards per game, including 470 to another rookie, CJ Stroud, just last week. So don't be surprised when Levis has a big fantasy performance on Sunday. My next bold prediction: a pair of rookies are going to finish as the top two fantasy tight ends in week 10. And we've talked about this rookie tight end class a bunch. There's been a handful of them flashing in their first season already, with Sam Laporte and Dalton Kincaid leading the way in that group. You also have Travis Kelce on bye this week, so that makes this prediction a little bit easier. But Kincaid and Laporta, they've been top 10 fantasy tight ends over the last month in fantasy points per game. This week, Kincaid gets the Broncos, who are giving up the most fantasy points to the position. Laporta gets the Chargers, who are sixth easiest in that category. And I'm cheating a little bit with the wording of this one because I said a pair of rookies, so technically that means guys like Luke Musgrave or even Michael Mayer, they could jump up into the mix if those other guys falter. But I'll go on a limb. I will say Kincaid and Laporta, they will be the top two fantasy tight ends in week 10. And then for my final prediction, James Conner will come back and be a top 15 fantasy back right away. He's returned to practice. Reportedly, he looks like himself out there. That gives him an excellent chance to suit up this week. And remember, he's been a productive fantasy player whenever he's been healthy. He finished as the RB20, the RB15, and the RB6 in the first 3 weeks of the fantasy season before he got hurt. And now he's going to get Kyler Murray back as his quarterback. Plus, his opponent this week, the Falcons, they've allowed a running back to post over 80 scrimmage yards on them for three straight games. So we don't know how long Connor's going to stay upright, but whenever he's out there, he's got to be in your lineup. And those are my bold predictions for week 10, and I'm calling it with Captain Morgan. All right, let's get our guest in here, Andrew Cooper, the lead NFL analyst over at Fantasy Alarm. You can give him a follow on Twitter or X at Coop A Fiasco. That's Coop, the letter A, then Fiasco. And we're excited to have him on for the first time with us here. Andrew, welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent, man. Thanks for having me. You know, you and I followed each other on Twitter for a while here, but first time getting together. So it's always a good time to get together with somebody that you feel like you've known for a while, right?
Definitely, yeah. And I know you're putting out a ton of great work. I mean, I've heard you on other shows too, and I'm glad that our audience is finally going to get exposed to you a little bit today. And, you know, when I can, we were talking about this before the show, I want to try to craft the episode around your work, right? I want to make life easier on you, especially during the fantasy season when we're all so, so busy. And one of the things that you do over at Fantasy Alarm, you do your yin yang tight end rankings. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you came up with that approach? And then I'm going to pick your brain here throughout the episode about some of the tight end situations around the league.
Yeah, for sure, man. So I'll try to keep it quick here. Basically, the tight end position is different than most other ones because it's difficult to just always roster the best ones because it's a one spot position. People don't want to roster multiple. So it's not like wide receiver where you go and you say, okay, I'm going to stash all these guys. I'm going to pick this guy up because he has a good matchup this week. With tight end, sometimes you have to make sacrifices here or there, right? So if you don't have an elite guy, I came up with this philosophy for early in the season where it's called yin and yang, where you draft the safest possible tight end to start early. That's your yin tight end. And then you take the highest risk, highest reward tight end with your second pick. That's the yang, right? And because some guys don't have a lot of upside, but then you have these other guys, you can't possibly trust them week one, but you want to have them. You want to beat the wire. So that's what we've been doing for a few years now. We've landed Mark Andrews, Darren Waller during his breakout year. We found Logan Thomas. You know, every year for the last 6 years, the tight ends have come from outside the top 15 in ADP to finish top five, whether it's Evan Engram or Dalton Schultz or whoever. So it's our job to find those guys. And once again, this year's probably been the best one yet for us because two of the top guys we were going after were Dalton Kincaid and Sam Laporta, and we're feeling pretty good about that so far. So that's the whole strategy, man. And I update the rankings all year so that if you do the strategy, you're not just left in the cold. I'm telling you, you know, if I took a high risk, high reward guy, it didn't pan out, I tell you, I'm dropping that guy. I'm picking up the next guy. You can follow me and we'll figure it out together.
Yeah, I love that approach. And I mean, I've found like back when I was doing the Fantasy Pros Accuracy Contest, tight end was like always the hardest position to project because you had these backup tight ends score a touchdown and all of a sudden they're like top 12 tight ends that week and it completely throws off the rankings and it made it very, very difficult. I found anyway, that was normally my worst one by far, my worst position. But let's start to drill down here. So I want to try to help people out with these weekly decisions. The first thing I want to know from you is which matchups this year are causing you to upgrade tight ends the most? We'll start there. So which defenses are you targeting to play tight ends against?
And it's funny that you mentioned the backup tight ends because that skews the numbers. Everybody wants to look at like who's letting up the most points. And sometimes you'll have a team like the Jets where when you dig into it, there, you know, it was a Noah Gray touchdown and a Farrell Brown touchdown and a Luke Schoonmaker touchdown. So the numbers don't often reflect that. So I look for matchups first and foremost, right? So the number one team is, it just happens that they also match up as the team letting up the most points. It's the Bengals. And it makes a lot of sense. Last year, their two starting safeties, Von Bell and Jesse Bates, both played 98% of the snaps. This year, lost them both in free agency. And the Bengals this year, they've been struggling over the middle. So I go after the Bengals. I go after the Texans. They're also letting up the second most points to the position. You know, Kate Otten just scored two touchdowns on them. And so that's an easy one. And the third one, to give you three here, I don't know, I'll give you as many as you want, but three feels pretty good. The Detroit Lions is another one where they actually went out and tried to fix this issue. They've had trouble versus the tight end. They went out, they got CJ Gardner-Johnson. Sure enough, 2 weeks into the season, he tears his pec and he's probably out for the year. So once again, the Lions, the hole they filled is a hole again, and they're kind of bleeding points to the position.
All right. What if we flip it the other way? Which matchups are causing you to downgrade tight ends this season? Are there any defenses that you're like just completely avoiding?
Oh yeah. There's a few of them. I mean, so I mentioned the Bengals, every other team in the AFC North, you actually kind of want to avoid. The Ravens are good. But the number one is the Browns. The Browns have only let up 155 total yards to the position this year. That's 100 less than any other team. And a big problem there is, and you see it with a lot, not every tight end, like Travis Kelce's never going to stay into block, but you see it with these guys that have, you know, Myles Garrett, Max Crosby. You look at the Bears game the other week with Max Crosby out there, they had Cole Kmet staying in block on 8 pass plays. Myles Garrett is such a problem. The teams sometimes just say, hey, you know what? We got to stop this guy. We by any means necessary. So the Browns is the number one stay away. Otherwise, I look at the individual player matchups, right? Like I don't like starting players against Devondre Campbell on the Packers when I can. The 1 year the Cardinals were good at stopping the tight end, it was because of this particular player. And now he's with the Packers. Also with the Saints, the combination of DeMario Davis and Tyrann Mathieu. I know Cole Kmet was able to score on Tyrann Mathieu with a crazy catch this week, but I don't like playing guys against them either, those two guys.
All right, let's get into some specific player questions here. And one guy that I think is always, I don't know the word would be, he's fun to try to project him is Taysom Hill, right? And
fun.
It's one of those ones where like you can be right and wrong in the same season because in the first 4 or 5 weeks, he really wasn't doing much. I think he had one game with some good rushing production. Other than that, he was held under 4 fantasy points in 4 of those first 5 games. And then the team decides all of a sudden he's going to be a huge part of the offense once Juwan Johnson got hurt. And they started using him as a pass catcher, which I think was the most surprising thing because that's not the way he produced in past years. And then Johnson comes back, and I personally bumped Taysom down the rankings a little bit, thinking that, okay, well, now Johnson's going to be involved, and they're going to go back to more of a committee. And at that point, they crank up Hill's carries again, and he keeps winning, just winning that way, right? So he's been crushing it over the last month. I'm wondering not just where you're ranking him this week, but also where you're ranking him the rest of the season. Is Taysom actually a trusted fantasy starter? Or are we going to have the bottom fall out on us again, which seems to have happened most years when he's popped up like this?
Right. And your thought process was the exact same as mine. It's all we can do, right? All we can do is speculate on what might happen. And his routes did go down, right? He ran the last game where Juwan Johnson was out. He ran 44 routes and you only got 15 from Foster Moreau. When Juwan Johnson came back, they split the routes kind of evenly. And, Hill's not going to be like a 50 route guy. So you can't really rank him top 5, but every single week you look at the way you rank these, the tight ends, and you have to say, where's the line, right? Where's the Taysom Hill line where you say, okay, all my formats I play are PPR. So where do we run out of consistency and we just have to go for touchdown equity and touchdown upside? And I will say, even if he were just a touchdown guy like he was last year, this new setup where they bring the big boy Kalen Saunders in there,
yeah,
number 99, he looks crazy out there, right? Yeah. It's like, it's wild, right? So it's a totally different setup. So for me, I go through and I say, okay, who can I trust this week? And this week we've got, you know, last week as well, a lot of tight ends that are out, a lot of good offenses that are out. And I say, okay, Laporta, Andrews, Kincaid, trust those guys with my life. Hawkinson, Engram, probably George Kittle as well. After that, you basically have my permission to start Taysom Hill if you feel like it, right? Schultz has a good matchup. McBride with Kyler is kind of fun, but I really have a hard time looking at the tight ends and picking 12 to start over Taysom Hill. So somebody out there's got to be starting, right? But at the same time, Justin, my policy has always been this. Starting Taysom Hill is an adventure that only you can choose to go on for yourself, right? Like, you're trying to ask me to rank this guy with actual tight ends. He makes my spreadsheets look terrible. I take him out of the spreadsheet, to be honest, because like he messes up all the target numbers, all the other stuff. So for me, that's a decision that only you can choose to go on for yourself. And at this year, for the first time ever, I support it.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I think we have him ranked in the same area because I think I had him as tight end 7 in my initial rankings this week. But when I put the rankings out, and this always happens, right? As soon as I publish them, immediately I get people on Twitter going, well, why do you have this guy so low? And why do you have this guy so high? And I had someone hit me almost instantly saying, don't be afraid to put Taysom Hill as the tight end 1 overall because Travis Kelce's out this week. And I was like, wait a minute, should I? And I looked at it again. I was like, there's just no way, right? I can't put him that high. Floor there.
Because of that, when I post on Reddit this week, I might just make a category at the very top, tier 0, and just put Taysom Hill there. Just because every week they go crazy. They're like, Taysom, disrespect. Oh my God, this guy's an idiot. Like, I might just give the people what they want and say, here you go. Here are your tiers. And then it's just him. And then maybe I'll put like 4 empty tiers after him. And then I'll have the actual tight end rankings just to appease the Redditors of the world.
Nice. Well, you mentioned another guy there in your tight end 1 rankings, and that's George Kittle. And he's kind of been another tricky one this year, kind of boom or bust. And there's been more booms lately because Deebo Samuel has been sidelined. So I'm curious about your outlook for Kittle moving forward, because by all accounts, I'm pretty sure Deebo is going to be back this week. So is Kittle about to fade into the background in this offense now? Because you have so many pieces, right? Brandon Ayuk breaking out and CMC, of course. And now with Deebo back, it seems like Kittle hasn't been as consistent when all those guys are healthy.
Yeah, I've been telling everybody, sell this guy. Sell this guy now if you can. If your trade deadline isn't gone by, you got to move him because he still has so much name value. And he's been putting together games when those guys are out. But you look at, you know, the 8-game sample size here, right? Because they had the bye week. He's got 4 games where everyone was healthy, and he had 3 or fewer targets, receptions in all those games. In one of those games, he just so happened to score 3 touchdowns on 3 receptions versus the Cowboys. Like, that's not something that anyone could ever project to happen, but that did happen. In the other games with Deebo out or Ayuk out, he's been good, right? So the reality is, in fantasy football, though, is in best ball, sure, that's great. But in our leagues, we need to win 3 games in a row, and we need consistency for that. So if he comes out in, you know, the game before the championship and scores 2 touchdowns, that's all great. But if he comes out the next game and catches 1 pass, then we lose. And that's what we saw with Robert Tonyan the year he caught 11 touchdowns, but he wasn't getting any targets. Is all the whole way he was scoring a touchdown, bing, bang, boom, right up until championship week when he caught 1 pass and it wasn't a touchdown and he pulled your pants down in front of all your friends. So you have to be very careful with these guys that are touchdown dependent. And I'm very scared of George Kittle, just like you.
All right. Well, before you jumped on with us, I did my 3 bold predictions for week 10. And one of them revolved around 2 rookies potentially having big days this week. And it's the obvious ones. You mentioned them earlier, Sam Laporta, Dalton Kincaid. They've just been fantastic, especially over the last month here. They've really both just been crushing it. And Laporta, I mean, for him, it started at the beginning of the season, right? He hit the ground running. Kincaid, it's been mostly because Dawson Knox went out, and whether that's going to continue or not, I'm curious to get your thoughts on, because what I want to know here is, who would you rather have the rest of the season, Laporta and Kincaid? And going back, like I said, if you were talking about what they've done so far over the whole year, I feel like Laporte is the obvious answer, but Kincaid really, really coming on.
Yeah, I'll tell you, like I stuck by these guys the whole way. I'm glad I did. I mean, Laporte was easy, but with Kincaid, I stuck by him the whole way. And now the, you know, my followers on Twitter, if I just mention any of these names, it's just like applause. You know what I mean? It's like the Family Guy with Lois when she's like 9/11 and the crowd just goes crazy. That's my Twitter whenever I mention Dalton Kincaid. So part of me kind of wants to rank Dalton Kincaid as the tight end one this week. It's not even a crazy take because he goes against the Bengals, which I just said were the worst team versus the tight end, but I still am going to have Laporte one because of how consistent he's been. But the crazy thing about Kincaid is that even when Knox was there, he was catching everything thrown his way. This guy led all tight ends coming into last week with a 90.5% catch rate, right? Which means that if he came out and caught 9 of 10 passes, then his catch rate would have gone down. So what does he do? He comes out and catches 10 of 11 and it goes up a little bit, right? So this guy is just, he's, you know, got vice grip hands. The one concern, of course, I mean, I guess there's two and it's splitting hairs, but Dawson Knox will be back and they might go back to some level of a split. And also he still got his bye week, whereas Laporta has already played through his. So rest of season, it's got to be Laporta. For the rest of their careers, I go back and forth on this. I had Kincaid ahead, and then we had on Jake Butt, the tight end that used to play for – he played for Michigan, hurt his knee, yep. Never really – you remember the brutal yep. knee injury. He's the example people use of why guys don't play in the bowl games anymore, right? But now he, you know, he works for the Big Ten Network and stuff, and he came on our show and he in this summer, and he would not stop gushing about Sam Laporta. Like he was like, this guy – crazy at breaking tackles. He does everything well. And I was like, well, he's not really a great blocker. He's like, no, he's going to be a fine blocker. He's going to be in line. Like, and he was right about everything. So it for me, I'd say they're both maybe 1A and 1B, potentially in dynasty leagues moving forward, man. It's hard to get, you can't get too excited about them, right? So I'd say to me, I wouldn't go out of my way to trade one for the other if I had them, if that makes sense, Justin.
Well, I'm sorry for doing that to you too, because it feels like I'm making you pick between your children. My children, or something. I know. Like more.
Yeah, that's where, and then it's like off air. I got to be like, you know, I like my son Jimmy just a little better. You know? he's a lefty, so I'm thinking maybe he could, you know what I mean? But no, I really, truly, I was so high on both of them that I don't think you necessarily have to go crazy acquiring one or the other. But if you were going to do a startup draft now, then Laporte is going to go before Kincaid. And I think that, yeah, you have to treat it that way.
One more before we get to the rapid fire section. Is there a tight end that you're targeting to break out in the second half of the season? Maybe somebody you're trying to trade for or pick up off the waiver wire before they go off down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, we like Trey McBride, but he's gotten a little too popular already. There's one guy that you can still get. The cat's out of the bag a little bit, but it's Cade Otton, right? Over the last two games, they've dropped back to pass 90 times. This guy's run 84 routes, right? He's out there running around. He's got 6, 6, and 9 targets. And the thing about Cade Otton right now, that you think about a healthy Dallas Goedert. I know he just broke his arm, but what exactly do you get from Dallas Goedert that you're not getting right now from Cade Otton? Where we're talking about a guy who is now playing at virtually every snap. He's offering some consistency in terms of targets. And if Devonta Smith or AJ Brown were to go down, now Goddard goes up to a level of difference making upside. Cade Otton's in the same spot where he's actually startable now. But if one of Mike Evans or Chris Godwin goes down, now all of a sudden he has this difference making upside. So he's kind of like a, you know, as far as if he were a running back, we'd call him like a double handcuff plus. No, like it's if either player gets hurt, now you get this benefit, and he already has standalone value. So Cade Otton is a guy that I don't think should be on as many waiver wires as he currently is sitting on.
It's a great call. All right, almost done here. We just got the rapid fire section to get through, and you're a first timer, but it's quick answers only. You can give a little context. I'm not going to like cut your mic off or anything. Most people do give a little bit of context, but we'll start with, we got one more tight end question for you. And that's, who's your favorite tight end streamer in week 10? And I wonder if it's just going to be the same answer as that last one. Is it going to be Cade Otton?
No, because you know what? I have him in the top 10 and I'm going to try and, I'll see if I can play the game of sneaking context in there. But if we're talking outside the top 12, I'm going to start Hunter Henry versus the Colts because he actually just jumped up to be second on the team in routes run last week with Kendrick Bourne out.
All right. Kyler Murray coming back this week. Is Kyler going to be a top 12 fantasy quarterback the rest of the way?
I say absolutely. You sort all quarterbacks of all time by PPR points per game, and he's top five.
Another guy coming back this week, we think, David Montgomery. So who scores more fantasy points the rest of the season, Montgomery or his teammate Jahmyr Gibbs, who had like a mini breakout while Montgomery was hurt?
It hurts, but just think about Dan Campbell. Think about Dan Campbell and what he says to us. It will be David Montgomery.
I think it has to be, yeah. Another guy returning from injury, Khalil Herbert. He was full practices all week. You figure he's going to play in the Thursday night game. And that really makes that Chicago backfield pretty crowded now. So which Bears running back do you most want on your fantasy roster?
I'd rather not start any of them this week, but if I'm going to roster one, it's Khalil Herbert. He earned the job before he got hurt, and they say you shouldn't lose your job to injury, even though it happens all the time. So I'm hoping Khalil Herbert gets his job back.
Is Will Levis a franchise quarterback?
My cop-out answer is I hope so, because he's a lot of fun. He's like the new Jay Cutler, right? Huck it, chuck it, back foot football, baby, let's go.
Will Aaron Rodgers play in an NFL game before the end of the season? He already said that he mentioned that he was joking about the fact that he's, you know, a few weeks away here, but will we see him again starting in a game?
I'm telling you, man, like if anybody, this guy's crazy, dude. He's willing to go live under a rock for a week and think about things. Like if anybody's going to do it, it's him.
Who's your favorite redraft stash at the moment?
I'm going to go homer pick on this one. I know you're a Bills fan, but I mean, I'm a Patriots fan. It doesn't really matter right now. You guys are destroying everybody. So I'm going to go with Demario Douglas, Pop Douglas. Surprised he's still rostered under 40% on a lot of sites. I mean, there's a beat writer, Alex Barth, that I really respect for the Patriots. He said that Demario Douglas isn't just electric. He's an entire power plant.
Nice. And last one here, we always ask this. Which player is being overlooked heading into week 10? And you could take it really in any direction you want. It's just shining the spotlight on somebody you think deserves it.
I'll say just for week 10, coming off a terrible game last week, Devin Singletary has a great matchup, and we're expecting him to be the starter once again. So Devin Singletary versus the Bengals, I think, is being ranked too low by most people.
Yeah, Damian Pierce not practicing today. We'll see when he can get back. But the fact that he wasn't able to practice last week, not able to practice today, certainly seems like Singletary is going to get another start. And that is all for today's show. So make sure you're checking out Andrew's content over at Fantasy Alarm. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at Coupe Fiasco. Andrew, this was great, man. It was great talking to you before the show. It was great having you on. I always love having new guests here, you know, especially when it's somebody who just crushes it, somebody who's doing fantastic, you know, in their own work, and somebody who I hope could potentially become a regular here. I hope we can get you back at some point. But before we let you go, I always give guests a chance to steer people towards, you know, anything that you're working on that maybe I didn't mention yet. Is there anything that you want to highlight?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And thanks for having me on. Put me in the rotation and maybe we can do a little bit of a home and home here. Have you on
absolutely,
my show at
yeah.
some point down the stretch.
For sure.
Yeah. So I do shows pretty much every day of the week from 1 to 3. My big ones that I do myself are on Mondays at 1 o'clock and Fridays at 1 o'clock. So check those out. If you just follow me on Twitter at Coupe Fiasco, I post all my articles, all my stuff. We make the yin and yang tight end stuff free. And that's because I started off on Reddit before I was even paid to do any of this stuff, just doing stuff for free. And they really appreciated it. I really grew with that community. And I just kind of decided whatever I was going to do, you know, we have tons of stuff behind the paywall at Fantasy Alarm. That's great for everybody and, you know, helps everybody win in DFS and all that. But I just always said this was one thing that I was going to always give back to that particular community. And of course, Twitter gets it too, by the nature of it being free. But yeah, the yin yang tight end stuff, it's pinned to my profile. It'll always be free. So at Coop A Fiasco on Twitter.
Excellent. I love it. As for me, I'll be back Thursday with the mailbag show, Friday with the injury updates episode. But until then, big thanks once more to Andrew. Big thanks to all you for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Said leave on time, my baby. Said leave on time. Leave on time with me.